We're continuing now in our series on lessons from Proverbs, and tonight we continue with that study. And if you'll take your Bibles this evening and turn to Proverbs chapter 14, Brother Penn will read with us one verse, and then I'll use a number of other verses in just a little while. So whatever you do, don't put your Bibles away. You're going to need them. And I think you'll appreciate the Bible study tonight. I know I do personally, and I've been kind of excited to bring it to you tonight. And I trust that you'll give it a good listen with all of your heart tonight. Brother Penn, come and read with us, if you would please, from Proverbs chapter 14.
Right, just that one verse, Proverbs 14. Let's read together on verse number 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Let's pray. Thank you again for your precious word, and as we open up your word tonight, minister to our hearts, Lord. Feed us, Lord, encourage us, strengthen us, and I pray you'll just fill our preacher with your spirit as he ministers and preaches what you've laid on his heart, and we'll thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn. My voice is a tad raspy tonight, so I'm sorry about that. I hope that doesn't detract you from being able to listen to the Bible study. Tonight I'm going to bring a message, a study, simply entitled Slow to Wrath or Hasty in Spirit. Slow to Wrath or Hasty in Spirit. The Word of God shows us plainly that it is always best to be a slow burner. That's such an important thing to remember. And notice what it says once again in verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And I guess impulsiveness has always been a problem. In least ways, that's the way I've always understood it. And I know some things are okay to be impulsive with, and I don't have a problem with some things. Impulsiveness can be a blessing. It can be a great strength in a person's life, but certainly not on everything. And there are far too many people today making too many decisions impulsively. I think that you would agree with that. Impulsiveness will always get you in trouble. And I mean that. And being impulsive, like I said, there are some things where you can be impulsive and impulsive fun times and doing things spur of the moment that can be a blessing and a help. But not everything, and certainly in decision making, you don't want to be impulsive. I want to show us all what God was teaching us here in this particular passage. Through the years, and maybe I shouldn't confess this to you, but through the years, people have called me a slow burner, and out of one side of their mouths, they bless me, and out of the other side of their mouths, they curse me, because my lack of impulsiveness for them is something that they don't like. They would rather me move more quickly than what I do on some things. And so not being hasty in my decision-making is very, very important. And the thing is, they'll be wanting me to take a shorter time in making a decision. But I'm just not one who's bent that way. And I don't know that I ever have been one that is bent in the direction of being hasty in my decisions. I remember, and this is an old story that I shared with all of you, but a salesman came to our door when we lived shortly after we were married, and he told us that if we did not make a purchase right away, that we weren't going to get the free bonus that came with it. Well, it just so happened that that time we had a need for what he was selling. But I've had people through the years who have said, if you don't buy it right now or you don't make the decision right now, you're going to miss out on this extra thing that you're going to be able to get. Well, if I'm told that I have to make the decision right now or I'm going to lose something, well, then I'm going to lose something. That's just the way I'm bent. I don't even want to tell this story, but it's true. In one church where I was an assistant pastor, I was told that I must make a decision about my future right then and there, or I wasn't going to be able to move me and my family into a church parsonage. Well, I wasn't going to make a decision about my future just for a house, and I didn't make the decision, and we didn't get the house. But that was actually presented to me as a choice. You make the decision now, or you're not going to be able to move into the church property. Well, I did not move into the church property. Dr. Hiles always taught us, he said, to move slowly until the Lord removes all the question marks. And then once the question marks are removed, then you move quickly. And that just made good sense to me. Brother Hiles was right. For this is not impulsive decision-making, it's well-thought-out decision-making. And I think that we need to be plagued with well-thought-out decisions rather than being plagued with impulsive decisions that are made hastily. So first thing I want to do is I want you to look at the little word spirit that is found there in Proverbs 14:29, if you would please. The word spirit, as it is used in this particular case, is a Hebrew word, rauch, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, R-U-A-C-H, as it's transliterated into English, ruach or something like that. And it simply means this, and this is what I want you to remember. It means the outward manifestation of the inward characteristics of mankind. Let me say it again. It means the outward manifestation, in other words, it shows outwardly, of the inward characteristics of mankind. And it speaks of his mind, it speaks of man's will, and it speaks strongly of man's emotion. In fact, the word is used a number of different places with a different English word translated. Now, here at Timberline Baptist Church, as my people know, and maybe some of you believe and know on your own, in your church, every word of God is given by inspiration, and it's given with purpose and for a purpose. And so sometimes the same Hebrew word, or in the New Testament, the same Greek word, is translated as a different English word in our current language today. And I want to give you some of those from our King James Bible. Notice Proverbs 29 and verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind. That's that word from Hebrew. And it says, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. And Job 19:17, it says, my breath is strange to my wife. I've always laughed at that verse. There's another verse in Proverbs. It says, my breath is corrupt. That usually describes me. But the word breath there is the same word, the ruach. And it says, though I entreated for my children's sake of mine own body. And then in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. That's the same word that's used for spirit. It says, because of you, for the Lord, for your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then we jump over to the book of Judges, chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, God hath delivered you into your hands, God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him. The word anger there is the same word that is used for spirit. Anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Two more references that I want to give you, one in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 4. It says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. And by the way, this is a powerful verse. This is amazing. Let me just read it again. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. The word blast is the same word that's used for spirit. And then one last reference for you, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29, which is our text verse for tonight, where it says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So all of those words that I just gave you from different places in the Word of God all come from the same Hebrew word, but the Lord wisely in the translation of our scriptures gives us understanding of what that word means in each situation. I love how the Word of God is so exact, and it's so pertinent to every one of us today. And so this word for spirit describes many things about man. And God says in Proverbs 14:29 that a man who is hasty in his spirit, that is, he's hasty in his purpose, he's hasty in his anger, he's hasty in his uncontrolled emotion, He is one that lifts his folly above everyone around him, and there it is plainly seen. I want to say it again because it really gives understanding here when you realize that all of these meanings come from the same word, and it's talking a man who's hasty. I've taught you that the word courage is so very, very important. So here we have a person or the word purpose, because courage is actually our purpose. A man who's hasty in his purpose. I think of a New Testament story that really illustrates that. A man who builds a house without considering the cost. A man who goes to war without considering the cost. So a man who's hasty in his spirit, that is in his purpose, that is in his anger, that is in his uncontrolled emotion, is one who lifts his folly above everyone around him, and there it is plainly seen. I'm reminded in the book of Proverbs, where as God inspired the writer, he simply said, "I am more brutish than any man." He was uncontrolled in his emotions. He was uncontrolled in his lasciviousness. All that was included in that. So anyway, a man who's uncontrolled, or he has this thing about him where he has to be impulsive about everything, doesn't have a plan, doesn't write anything down. He just makes a decision, spur of the moment. The Bible says that man will exalt his folly for everyone to be able to see. Those of you that are online, I did not mean to make the fireworks show up. I apologize for that. I still haven't figured out how to turn it off. There it is again on Facebook. And so I have done everything that I know to do to make it go away, but it keeps coming back. All righty. So what are some important truths to learn about being hasty in your spirit? I've written down four truths that I want to give you tonight. And if you'll write them down, I think you'll learn from them, because none of us really wants to be hasty in our spirit. We don't want to make impulsive decisions to where it ends up being a wrong decision or making a wrong judgment because we do something impulsively. Number one lesson is this, and that is being hasty in spirit will cause you to say what you should not say. Being hasty in your spirit will cause you to say what you should not say. Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, let me read it to you. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, of course that's Jesus, and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." I think this is one of the most interesting stories in the New Testament about Mary and Martha. But as you know, Martha was a good Christian woman. She really was. And she truly loved the Lord Jesus. I don't have anything bad to say about her relationship with the Lord. But where the criticism comes is she's always busy doing something for Jesus, even though she probably needed to spend more time with Jesus. Let me say it again. She's always busy doing things for Jesus when she really needed to spend time with Jesus, and we should never replace personal time with Jesus with simple productivity. You see, Jesus had come to visit Mary and Martha, and while he was there, Mary sat down at his feet. And every time you find Mary in the Bible, Mary of Bethany, she's always at Jesus' feet. But when you find Martha, you find Martha being busy doing things. And so Mary was there. I'm sure she sat down and said, "Tell me about your travels. Tell me where you've been. Tell me about the folks that have come to faith in Christ. Tell me about the preaching that you've done." And Jesus simply expounded to her as he spoke about his travels. But Martha was busy cooking the meal, and perhaps Mary should have lent a hand. And I don't have a problem with that, but she didn't lend a hand. And Martha was busy about doing as the story goes, Mary stayed at Jesus' feet, and while Mary was at his feet, Martha got in his face kind of hastily. She said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" That's an interesting statement. Probably spoke out of turn, spoke hastily, I believe spoke impulsively. I'm sure she was hurt in her heart, in her spirit, because Mary was not helping her. And she looked at Jesus and said, "Don't you care?" Well, of course he cared. My goodness. But that was probably, in my opinion, the wrong thing to say. And interesting here, Jesus gently rebuked her and said that Mary was doing the single most important thing at that time that could have been done. And After all, man cannot live on bread alone, and Mary knew that she needed the bread of life. So the gentle rebuke came, and I believe Martha possibly learned her lesson. But Mary still received the blessing. Now, David said this in Psalm 31, verses 21 through 23. Notice these words. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste," I've always been intrigued by that phrase, "I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." In essence, David said, I shouldn't have said that. And that's what speaking hastily does. It causes you to come to the place where you say, I shouldn't have said that. And sadly, you can't take back words. They stick with us for a long time. Being hasty in spirit will always cause you to say things that you shouldn't say, and afterwards you will wish you hadn't said them. Thus the example of David, thus the example of Martha. So first of all, I said being hasty in spirit will cause you to say what you should not say. But secondly, being hasty in spirit will cause you to do what you should not do. It will cause you to do what you should not do. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 gives us the biblical illustration of that point. And I want to read this to you, verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 7. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Israel, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and was also a mighty man of valor. But he was a leper, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Why would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the house of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a leper of his leprosy? Wherefore I consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And so he spoke out of turn here. And of course, we find here doing something that he should not do, and he did it quickly. And in this particular case, Jehoram, the king of Israel, made a hasty judgment against a man named Naaman. Made a quick judgment. Now, Elijah, the man of God, brought King Jehoram to his senses by simply suggesting that they find out what the man wanted rather than judge him beforehand. In other words, get the answer. Don't speak before you know the truth. Don't speak before you have all the facts. You need to learn to keep your mouth shut. And you know, a lot of people need to learn to do that today. We'll take a side very, very quickly, whether it be with friends or family or whoever, without hearing the second side of a story and needing to hear the second side of a story. Well, as it turned out, Naaman had a real need, and that was that he needed to be cleansed of his leprosy. And a little servant girl suggested that Naaman seek out Elijah for healing, and King Jehoram hastily misjudged a man in need. So, shouldn't have done that. And this is always the way it is when we make a quick judgment against an individual, especially when we don't have all the facts. We don't have everything in front of us. We don't have the whole story. I remember I loved the part in the news when Paul Harvey would have the rest of the story. He would tell the beginning of a story, and you wouldn't know what the whole thing was until he says, in a moment, he'll tell the rest of the story. And then it put everything together. But often you need to have two sides of a story to make it equitable between two people or more. And so there are times when we are right, when we make a quick judgment against an individual, but the times that we are right are few and far between, and we need to be right all the time, not just some of the time. And then there's lots of times that we are wrong. You know, you hear somebody get up and give a testimony, and I said this about so-and-so, and I knew that God was in it, and I knew that God blessed, and sure enough, that's what happened. But you don't ever hear anybody get up and say, boy, was I ever wrong. They don't give testimonies about being wrong. Being hasty in spirit will always cause you to do the things that you shouldn't do, and afterwards you'll wish that you hadn't done them, like misjudging an individual before you have all of the facts. You see, that's important. There's a third lesson that I've written down, and that is this. Being hasty in spirit will cause you to react how you shouldn't react. It will cause you to react how you shouldn't react. Jonah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Let me read this to you. Jonah 4, verses 8 and 9. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Well, there he had a hasty decision. And the sun beat down on his head, and it gave him a headache, and he got a sunburn, and he was all discouraged about that. Amazing thing. And in this story, what he did was he did not react the way he should have reacted. God was trying to teach him. How did Jonah react? Well, when God didn't destroy the people of Nineveh, as Jonah thought that he should have, Jonah went into the depths of despair. God, you said you were going to judge them for their sin, and you know how evil they are, and you know the sins that they've done, and yet you spared them, even if I was the preacher that went and preached a revival. Very amazing. And so we find here, this man had a bad attitude, and he did. He needed an attitude adjustment, as the old song says. You think about it, though. Jonah had survived a storm at sea. Jonah had been cast into that sea and swallowed by a whale. Jonah then had been vomited up onto the dry ground from that whale. And here he was covered in whale gook and all the rest of it. And he went into this town and he preached a couple of words of revival and the entire place turned to Christ. Really amazing thing. They call this the greatest revival that was ever preached. And everybody that could understand the truth, they could tell their right hand from their left hand. Everybody that had understanding turned to God, which was an amazing thing. And here he is all upset about a gourd, of all things. You talk about a wrong reaction. His emphasis was entirely wrong and in the wrong way. And so everyone in Nineveh either got saved or got right with God. It's an amazing, and that revival lasted for many, many years. Some say 150, some say about 100 years, but it lasted for a very long time before the people returned back into their old ways. But Jonah preached that sermon and got upset over a gourd, of all things, and over the sun. And God is in the prayer answering business, and we should allow him to answer prayers in his own way, in his own time, and not be reacting to when God doesn't come to as quickly as we think that he should, or do exactly what we ask him to do. God has his way and his plan. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are not they're above our thoughts. And yet we will judge God, and we will react to something. Many believers today are no more than Christian reactors. You pull the right rod out and they blow up. It's just an amazing thing. Being hasty in spirit will always cause you to react the way that you shouldn't react. And afterwards, you'll wish that you hadn't reacted that way. And the last lesson I want to give you from this tonight, because we're studying lessons in Proverbs. I said, first of all, that being hasty in spirit will cause you to say what you should not say. I said, secondly, it will cause you to do what you should not do. Thirdly, it will cause you to react the way you should not react. And lastly, being hasty in spirit will cause you to seek wrong counsel. Being hasty in spirit will cause you to seek wrong counsel. And on the same respect, it will cause you to reject proper counsel. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 6 and 7, and I believe that you probably know where I'm going with this particular illustration, but if you have your Bible there, 1 Samuel 28, very famous, a well-known story in the Bible, verses 6 and 7 say, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto the servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And you know the story is the witch at Endor. Amazing story. Saul had rebelled so much that God refused to, he wouldn't speak to him any longer. And in those days, that's what God would do. But this day, he refused to speak to him. And in a panic, instead of doing the thing that he should have done, which was get right with God, instead of doing the thing that was the easiest thing to do, was fall on your knees and repent as a believer and get right with God. That would have been the easy thing to do. And that would have been the right thing to do. But he said, well, since God's not talking to me, I'm going to go get me a woman that's got a demon, a familiar spirit. And that's exactly what he got. He got the witch at Endor. And what he did was this, was he chose another course of counsel. He went to see that woman that had a familiar spirit, and in other words, this woman was a demon worshiper and a witch, and in my opinion, I believe she was demon-possessed as well. And by the way, this is always the case. Instead of simply, maybe I shouldn't use those words, that's almost degrading for most of us, but instead of simply getting right with God, which is the simplest and easiest thing to do in a situation like this, many of God's own people seek other sources for their guidance, other sources for their direction. Anytime the child of God seeks another way, it will always lead him away from God's will. That's important. You see, I remember when I was growing up in my high school, and I think every high school has these, a guidance counselor. And the guidance counselor in my school was an individual who did not know the Lord. But I had my pastor, I had my youth pastor, I had my dad, I had my mom. I had all these different counselors that knew the Lord and loved the Lord. And I did not seek counsel from my school guidance counselors because they would not lead me in the way of the Lord because they did not know the way of the Lord. And so I followed the advice that was given to me by my parents and by my pastor and by my youth pastor. And I think I made the right decisions, and I'm glad that I did. Solomon and his own son Rehoboam, you know the story of Rehoboam. He refused godly counsel from his own father. And when Rehoboam was faced with how to run the father's kingdom, the Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. It says, "Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. Did not get the counsel that he wanted from God, so he decided to go another direction. And very interesting here, people are always looking for another way out. And it's just the way I believe modern Christianity is, which is the way a lot of ways that Christianity has gone these days, to where biblical counsel seems to be gone out the window. And so in haste, he sought and followed the wrong counsel. And being hasty in spirit will always cause you to seek direction from the wrong place. When I think about, you know, in the newspapers, now newspapers are a thing of the past for a lot of people. I think they're still printed in most places. But there's always a column in there from the horoscope. And a lot of people will say, well, I'm a Libra, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, and they read their horoscope for the day. Shouldn't do that. Stay away from it. Don't go there. Tarot cards, anything, crystal ball, Wicca, all the rest of it. And very, very interesting here. But we need not to go to another source, you see, because when we are hasty in our spirit, we will simply go for the wrong counsel. Solomon's son Rehoboam did exactly that. He refused his father's counsel. He refused the counsel of the old men, went to the counsel of the young men and split a kingdom and ruined God's people and ruined the testimony of God in the among the people. But he just went the wrong direction. It'll always cause you to seek direction in the wrong place. And when a person who is hasty in spirit does not get the answer right away, or the answer he gets is not the answer that he expected or wanted to hear, he'll always seek another counsel from the wrong source, you see. One pastor said to me one time, I said, this is what I believe God wants to do, and if God's not going to do it, I'm going to do it anyway. Scared me to death when a man said that. I'll do it if God, even if God's not in it. Well, hey, that's the wrong way to go. And that should never have been said. I learned a lesson from that. And the lesson I learned was to do exactly the opposite. Now, the natural consequence of being hasty in spirit is that the foolishness or folly in a person is lifted high above so everybody can see it. They'll look and see how foolish that individual is. And this is what Proverbs 14:29 says and what it means. Let me read it to you again. He that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly. He exalteth foolishness, stupidity, wrong decisions. And Abraham Lincoln said it this way, better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. When one is hasty in his spirit, he removes all doubt by speaking hastily, and he should not do that. I believe there's some great lessons in here for all of us, and I know for me, and this is why I choose to be a slow burner. Criticized or not, it doesn't matter. Yes, I know sometimes I take way too long on some things, and I understand that, but I would rather be known as a slow burner than a hasty individual that makes impulsive decisions. I'd rather someone call me a fool for taking my time than to be called a fool for wasting my time. And perhaps in this Bible study, we can learn the lessons from those who did not learn those lessons. As we look at what this one little simple verse and the few biblical illustrations that we were able to give. Again, there were only four, and that is, being hasty in spirit will cause you to say what you should not say. It will cause you to do what you should not do. It will cause you to react how you should not react, and it will cause you to seek wrong counsel. And that's what a hasty spirit will do. No wonder the Bible is so clear on that.